Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Good morning. I want to talk about Joseph and the grace to be great. Joseph and the grace to be great. Drop these down a little bit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. I'll do my best to try to help us understand grace a little more this morning. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, your Bible says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Aren't you glad you're free? You've been called out of this world and out of bondage. And the Bible says you've been called unto liberty. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, so that you can satisfy your own fleshly desires, but by love serve one another." You see that word "serve" in there. We're learning about the grace to serve. And this morning we're going to touch on a few things in a couple of chapters on the path to greatness is found in a call to be a servant. Now if you remember, I asked a question last week, and that was, how is your service? Are you good at serving? I am no good at tennis serving. Bill will attest to that. But how good are you at serving God and serving others? This month we've been focusing on grace. This whole year we've been focused on grace. But this month specifically on how grace helps us serve. How grace makes it possible to continue to serve. It is not a popular goal to serve. You usually want to be in charge. You want to be the boss. You want to be able to tell people what to do. And we want to get paid doing it. You see, we want all those who work hard to be paid less and those who supervise to get paid more. That's how it usually happens, isn't it? We usually want to have people looking up to us, hanging on our every word, doing what we think they should do. We want to be successful. We want to gain. We want to enjoy our life. And the last thing we want to do is to obey a command to serve. I found out in my own life that there are many, even Christians, who believe the world is made up of two kinds of people. Those who serve, and those who have worked hard and believe they've earned the right to be served. To them, that's the only kind of people there are. The lowlife and me. But Jesus said His kingdom only has room for service. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said this, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted." In Luke 9, He says, "He that is least among you, the same shall be great." Jesus' kingdom is filled with servants. What does it mean to serve? We looked at this last week, Philippians chapter 2. I have to get in, conscious of the time. Philippians chapter 2. Simply to serve means to supply someone else's needs. It means to put someone else's needs ahead of your own. To make someone else happy. That's what it means to serve. You ever had someone in a restaurant come and serve you? What are they doing? They're trying to make you happy, trying to make sure the soup is hot, trying to make sure the place settings are perfect, trying to make sure your water is filled and everything is just right. That's what a servant does. A servant tries to make someone else happy. The servant does what they want. Can you imagine? There was one place in Springfield, Missouri, that's how they say it. I went to Bible college in the state of Missouri. There's a restaurant, well, not even a restaurant, it's a hamburger place called Red Hamburger. You go in there, and he's got this list of about 26 different kinds of hamburgers. You go in there, and you stand in line, and then when you go up to the front, you say, "I'll have it," and he goes, "No, you'll have a six." All I want a 9. I want a number 9. I want a double burger with cheese. No, no, you get a number 6. You can't choose what you want in that restaurant. He tells you what you want. He doesn't have much business. I'm dead serious. We would go there just for fun. He says, what do you think I want? I think you want a 19 today. And I was like, come on, that's crazy. But you know, if you're serving, you do what they want. You give them what they ask for. That's what a servant does. Now, that's not easy. And what you need in order to serve, in order to do it, the Bible says, you're going to have a power behind you called grace. It is a force that makes it possible and fruitful when you serve. To be a servant naturally, without grumbling. You know what it means to grumble, don't you? You know what it means to be asked to do something you don't want to do. To not complain, to not revolt, requires grace. And grace is an attitude gift. Grace is an attitude that God has toward us. Would you agree? I'd get upset if I had to deal with you every day. I couldn't do it. God does it, doesn't he? So I'll ask you this again. How is your service? You doing any better this week than you were last week? I didn't think so. Young Joseph here in Genesis, we're going to go, if you'll go back to Genesis now. And pick up down in chapter 39. And Joseph shows us what grace looks like and what it takes to serve God the right way. Now, we all can tell people how to serve us. Isn't that funny? I can tell a waiter what I want. I can tell a waiter how to serve me. But you know, there's a service, there's a way to serve that only God can show you. And he shows us here in the life of Joseph. I'm going to say this. There is no way that Joseph or anyone ever could serve under the conditions that Joseph was put in if it weren't for grace in his life. There's no way that Joseph would have done what he does if he didn't find grace. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts to the concept of grace. We know grace means gift. We know grace is something that allows us to get. But what we need to learn is that grace actually enables me to give, enables me to lose. I'm not like that. Most of us don't know how to be like that. So you wrote the Bible for us, that we would learn, we would be encouraged, we would be challenged to live differently, to live higher than the world. And that means we've got to go lower. With lowliness in mind, esteeming each other better than ourselves. Lord, change us, please. I pray you'd save somebody today, that they understand that God Almighty lowered himself, not only to the form of a man, but to the form of a servant. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might save the wretches like us. Open somebody's heart, let them see their need to be born again this morning. I pray they cry out from their heart, save me, make me like Jesus. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We first met Joseph when he was 17 years old back in chapter 37. And he, as you well know, was the favorite son of the home. Not to his own. It wasn't his own fault. He didn't go around saying, Dad, you know I'm your favorite. Didn't do that. His dad kind of did a couple wrong things. Well, a few wrong things. Jacob was his name. He created a huge problem in the home by having a favorite son. Can you imagine the problem having a favorite son in your home? Well, they had it. Now, he was a busy helper to his dad. Believe me, if his dad needed something done, oh, don't you hate teacher's pets? Who's there in class when you were a kid wiping down the blackboard? Oh, you hated their guts, didn't you? Teacher's pets. Well, that was who Joseph was. He loved doing whatever his dad wanted to do. As a matter of fact, his dad had him do lots of jobs. He'd say, go check on your brother. Yes, sir. He was a tattletale. He just, he was busy. He did whatever he was asked. But that created a lot of problems. He was hated by his own kingdom. And they only wanted one thing. They wanted to get rid of Joseph. And they got their wish. One day when he shows up and is sent out to go find him, and he shows up and he finds them, well, they decide they're going to ruin his life. They thought about first killing him. And back then, they almost could have gotten away with it. But they decided, hey, we don't get any money out of it. Why don't we sell him? Nice brothers, okay. I mean, which do you want, to be sold or killed? I guess sold. We're going to at least make some money. They didn't even make the full payment of a slave. They only got 20 silver coins for this guy, but it was better than nothing. So they sold him off into slavery. You think that slavery is something that God doesn't deal with? He sure does, but he shows how to deal with it when even you are captured. The Bible's for everybody. And as far as everyone was concerned, Joseph was dead. He was gone. Taken away in chains and forced to work as a slave in Potiphar's house. And yet, as you know there in your Bible, it said, and yet God was with him. These are probably one of the sweetest words in that portion of Scripture. God was with him. Potiphar, Jews, we talked last week, Potiphar saw something different in Joseph's life. He said, this kid's got attitude. This kid has been dragged from his home. He's been sold on the auction block. I bought him. I put him out in the field, but he loves to work. I gave him more jobs and he did the jobs without complaining. Wow, I gave him more responsibility and he rose to the challenge. He stayed up at night learning how to do it and he did it. Everything I give Joseph to do, he does, and he does with a smile. I like Joseph. Ultimately, as you, if you know the story, Joseph is put in charge of the entire household of Potiphar. He is actually, he's given the checkbook, he's given the credit cards, he's given the keys to the chariot. He has the run of the house. Anything needed to get done, nobody went to Potiphar, the owner, they went to Joseph and asked him to do. Joseph, whatever he said, do. Think about the power that Joseph had. How did he get it? Serving. He got it. He earned it by serving. Now, wouldn't it be nice if that was the end of the story? I mean, I think the story should have ended right there. I like storybooks that end and they live happily ever after. Amen? Don't you like that? Most children's stories are just that way. I remember reading, we had lots of Bible story books for our kids growing up. One of them that always made me laugh was about Jonah. And so we're talking about Jonah, and he doesn't want to go to Nineveh, and so he goes away, he runs from God, and he's asleep in the ship, and the guys end up throwing him overboard, and then he's swallowed by a whale, and 3 days later he comes out of the whale, and he goes and he preaches, and then on his way out he goes, bye everybody, bye, and he's all happy, and Nineveh's happy. And I went, no! It didn't end that way. See, God's stories don't always end happily ever after, not in this life. I know we will end up happily ever after, but not now. You see, this should have been the end of the story if it was written by man. But as you well know, Joseph was faced with the most intense and harsh temptation he could have ever faced. He had the temptation of Potiphar's wife. He had the temptation to take advantage of the fruit of his freedom. He was free to do whatever he wanted. And that temptation, don't you believe for a second it wasn't a pull on Joseph. Don't you think for a second that he didn't debate and struggle with it and go, why do I have these feelings? Why is this woman attracted to me? Why am I attracted to her? And every day she kept putting on the pressure. She kept telling him, come lie with me. Don't just sit and chat with me. Be with me. One day she grabbed his coat and began to pull off his clothes. And what did he do? He did what a godly man should do. He ran! He left his coat and anything else that she was holding on to in her hand and took off out the back door. Temptation. Temptation. There's only one thing to do when you're tempted, and that is run! Run! You cannot fight it. David proves you cannot fight temptation. You gotta run from it. everything went terribly wrong. Joseph had been doing everything right, and yet everything went wrong in his life. And let me say a principle here before I go very far. The life of a servant is no guarantee to protection from troubles and disasters. Just because you're trying to serve God and do right does not mean that God's not going to allow disaster. Let me make another couple of statements. If you ever attempt to serve God, if you ever attempt to teach a Sunday school lesson, ever attempt to drive a church bus, ever attempt to help out with Bible clubs or Target Art, if you ever attempt to take your Bible to work and to open it during lunch and to hand out gospel tracts on break, if you ever attempt to do what God designed you to do, believe me, the devil will hinder you and make your life a disaster. You say, I should be honored. God should be clapping at me because I'm trying to do what He wants me to do. You forget about the devil. And he will hinder you to no end. Because, let me say this very clear. In that service, He knows that when you attempt to do what God designed you to be, what did God design you to be? What did God call you to be? Not just a child of God, but a servant of the Most High God. When you attempt to be a servant, the devil knows that's the greatest honor. He cannot allow that. He wants the honor. He wants the praise. And if you're going to get it, He's going to bring you down. And that's what grace is for. Grace enables you and allows that all those trials coming against you that are meant to break you and stop you, grace allows you to just keep going. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off, and if you will, in chapter 39 and verse 20, we're going to find him in prison. Because he didn't just get in trouble, he got in serious trouble. His master was furious with Joseph, throws him into prison, never asked for Joseph's side of the situation. How could he? His own wife has accused him. There he is in prison. Look at chapter 39 and verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. The king's prisoners were prisoners that were accused of high treason. That's a serious thing. He's on death row. And he was there in the prison. I like that word there. That's the only place that he could be. He was locked away in there, verse 21. But here's our words again. I love it. But the Lord was with Joseph. You ought to underline that. You ought to put a star by it. You ought to remember that verse. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor even in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I want to say this. He's in prison. He is as low as you can get and yet still be alive. There's only one place lower, Brother Dan. That's 6 feet under. Okay? You can't get any lower than being in that type of a prison. See, modern day prisons are nothing like prisons of those days. This was a hole that had small sections that were carved out that people were chained into. You could hear the moans day and night, the filth in the floor, the rats and the vermin, the bugs, the stench. The dampness, the darkness of that hole where Joseph was. You couldn't go any lower. You know, this is the first time prison is mentioned in your Bible. And it's mentioned to somebody who's trying to do right. How many of you ever hear of a guy named Kent Hovind? 9 years went to jail. Wow. People say, well, he probably deserved it. Yeah, when you go in jail, I'll probably say that too. Be careful. Be careful. See, sometimes you'll go to prison for doing right. And if you're not ready for the future, folks, persecution's coming. You don't have to do anything except say same-sex marriage is wrong before you're fired. It's going to get rough. Joseph's in this prison. He's back at zero, would you agree? He once was the father's favorite son, then he was a slave. He then was up in Potiphar's house as the head of the household. Now he's back at zero again. It's called a life of a yo-yo. But even in prison, what did Joseph end up doing? What did Joseph end up doing? You know what he ended up doing? I know what I would have been doing. Screaming. Yelling, somebody! Get me out of here!
I'm innocent! Everybody else would go, yeah, me too! Everybody says they're innocent in prison.
You know what Joseph did? He served. He was a servant. Something inside Joseph drove him. He wouldn't have done it naturally. You wouldn't do it. Something drove Joseph to allow himself to be humbled, to be hurt, his needs ignored. Something drove him to see the people around him needing to be ministered to in a ministry. Now you're looking at the greatest example of somebody that's like Jesus Christ in the entire world. See, if you want to learn about what Jesus Christ is like, look at Joseph. So look at Jacob. Look at Joseph. Joseph, in prison, looked around and said, that person needs a bandage on his knee. So he looked around and he saw people needing to serve. And look at chapter 39, verse 23. 39, 23. Well, let me read 21, 22, and 23. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Not by accident. Watch. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, under his responsibility, because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What can you mark about Joseph? He was a doer. He was busy. We got two guys come in from the States. You know what I can already tell you about them? I've watched them already, at two different churches. They got all kinds of videos on them. These guys are doers. That's what we need for our Bible club. You want to come and sip your can of Coke? Come and watch. But if we're going to reach kids, we got to be doers. We got to be workers. And I appreciate people who are like Joseph, who when he's in the middle of a pit, he gets busy. That's what a servant does. Joseph looked around and served, and that changed everything. God gave him favor, which means it made him look good in the eyes of the prison guard. Because his silent, serving spirit, his self-sacrificing attitude, God's grace does that. Only God's grace takes people like us and makes us into servants. God stayed with him, and I want to say this, each time you find God's grace and God's presence with Joseph, it's when he's busy serving. You want God's blessing on your life? And I mean God's blessing not monetarily. Not big car, fancy house. You want God's grace on your life, serve. Because God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And the humble doesn't just sit there and suck their thumb and go, I guess when God needs me, he'll call me. He's already called. He's already called. God's grace takes us down. He never puts you down. You'll have friends that'll put you down. You're no good. You're a failure. That's what friends do. That's what the devil does. Grace may take you down, but never puts you down. Grace honors you as you serve. Grace equips you. That's God's way of doing things. You want to experience God's way. You want to experience people's praise? Be a success. God will not see you or notice you at all. But if you want God's grace, if you want his attention, serve. And he'll go, let's help this guy. Now he's in prison, but you gotta be appreciative. He's not in chains. I just read it there, folks. Joseph was in prison, but he was not bound in that prison. That's a good difference. Look at Psalm 105. Hold your place here. Go to the middle of your Bible. Psalm 105 in verse 17. Psalm 105. Lest you imagine that when he got into prison that he was immediately made foreman, manager, boss, overseer. Let me show you what the Bible says about Joseph when he was put into prison. Psalms 105 and verse 17. Psalm 105, 17. He, God, sent a man before them, Israel. Even who? So God sent God, and I'm going to say probably two, three more times, God ordered the steps. He laid out the life of Joseph. even when he was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. What are fetters? Chains. Very strong chains. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, that God's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Verse 20 says, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Let me just say, he's in prison, but not in chains, but he didn't start out that way. He wasn't put in charge of anything at first. He was treated like the worst kind of offender. But he determined not to stay that way. You got a job? You got a boss who you hate? Honor him like you would Jesus Christ, and I bet you might get a raise, Christian. You want to impress your boss? Don't make the most money for him. Make him trust you. Make him look at you and go, you know what, that person works the hardest of them all. You get a raise, you get honored when you serve. Does that make sense to anybody? I know it's foreign, but that's, you say, no, I want to join the union. I deserve better pay. You earn it, according to the Bible. Earn it by serving. You say, oh, everybody who serves, they get stomped on. Yes, they do. But the Lord will watch out for you too. You're saved. The Lord will take care of you. Joseph was in prison, but he was not in chains because he determined not to stay there. He changed his circumstances. He could have, with the spoons they gave him, he could have tried to dig his way out. You know, dig a tunnel. Well, he escaped his chains by serving. He found that at every level of his life, he was simply taking it as another place, another way to serve. Grace will change the way you and I see things. Sometimes I don't live by grace. I live by sight. I live by heart. I live by feelings. I live by emotions. Anybody else like that? You live by grace. You see things as, Lord, is this where you want me to serve today? You come into church and you walk in and people are busy and you your first prayer is, Lord, what can I do? You ask Dan, you ask Pastor, is this where you want me to serve now? And the answer will be yes. Wake up next to that good for nothing husband of yours. Come on, ladies, you nod your head. Wake up next to him, you look at him and you go, Lord, is this where you want me to serve today? I can serve him. Every level of his life was simply another place, another way for him to serve. Did Joseph deserve being in prison? No. But he earned the high place to serve. He earned the high place to serve as well as prison. He actually became more free than most people are outside of prison. I know people who have cars, they have the house, they have a job, they have the girls, they have the money, they have the looks. That's to be there. They have everything going for them, but they are miserable. Amen? They're in bondage. They can't go to sleep at night without a pill. They can't get up in the morning without a pill. They can't go through days without drink. They can't go through nights without entertainment. They're miserable. They're in prison. He's more free than most of them. Amen. Let me show you what he was free. Take your Bible. Go to Romans chapter 6. He was free to serve. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. I like these verses. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, preaching, through a gospel tract, through somebody giving you their testimony. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became free to do what you want. Is that what it says? Oh. You are free to become the servants of righteousness. You see, Joseph would have rather had been free from prison, wouldn't he? But he wasn't made free from prison, but he was made free to serve. That's the hard thing. God drops you down into a situation and you're no longer free on the outside, but you're more free than ever when you decide, I'm going to serve right here. I'm going to stay serving, keep focusing by grace, not because I want to, because I don't want to, but God thinks I need to. That's the freedom that he had. And he ended up being put in charge of the entire prison. This Jewish boy, this slave that had been brought there and sold and gone up and down through his history, here was this man now in charge of the prison. There's not much to be proud of. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm in charge of people on death row. I mean, put that on your CV, you know? But it all happened because he served others. What an attitude to have. What a way to live. Religion doesn't give you that. Meditation won't enable you to do that. Medication won't do it either, and neither will money. You couldn't pay some people enough money to go into that kind of a prison and serve other people. Only God's grace can do it. I want you to see in chapter 40, look in verse 1, let's look at the divine appointment. Chapter 40 and verse 1, back there in Genesis. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. This is a divine act of God. This is not an accident. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, put him in charge of them, and he what? You ought to underline that. And he served them. And they continued a season in prison there. Show you the divine appointments. God, and let me just say, was God responsible? Let's make it real clear. Was God ultimately behind bringing Joseph into prison? Yes or no? Ouch. God, I don't like where you got me today. God was fully in charge of directing all the events. You gotta remember, whenever he brings you low, he's got something for you to do there. Is he waiting for somebody great to minister to? No, he's already ministered. Now he gets to minister to two very important people, VIPs. So in come these two new prisoners, and these two new prisoners, they're very special, they're very high-ranking men. The butler was one of the most trusted men in the king's court, in any court. He always got to overhear all the conversations by the king and all the people that counseled him. He knew everything that was going on throughout the kingdom. He had to be very trusted, you understand? Very trustworthy. He's up there constantly making sure the king has his cup full. And his plate is full of food. He's the butler. He serves the king. He stands by the king and he hears all of the business of the court. He knows everything. He's a pretty important guy. Also a very dangerous guy. There's also, not only the butler, there's a baker. The baker is responsible for making the king's favorite foods and keeping the king happy with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and 11s and 2s and whenever he wanted food. Evidently, both had done something to anger Pharaoh, so he commanded them to be put in the same prison as Joseph was in. The king didn't know Joseph was there, but he accidentally put him in the same prison. The Bible doesn't say what they did, but they were in serious trouble. They probably, when they got to that prison, think about it, they were probably beaten, rough-handled before they were thrown in. I doubt these men had ever seen the insides of a prison. I bet you've never seen the inside of a prison either. I pray you don't. You see it on television. You have no idea, folks. These guys are now sitting in that prison. And guess who comes straddling up next to them? A Jewish slave. What do you think Joseph did? As we read, he served them. He took care of them. He ministered to their needs. He was kind to them. He showed them grace. Now, while they're there, they're a dream. And then there's another dream. And they enter, this is a period of time in your Bible where dream after dream after dream, everybody's dreaming, man. Now if you remember, Joseph was a dreamer already, wasn't he? Back when he was a young lad, he had a couple of dreams that one day I'm going to be great. Remember that? One day people are going to bow down to me, Daddy, what do you think of that? Not the right thing to talk about. You had a dream like that? Keep it to yourself. How did he seek to fulfill that dream? He never once tried to fulfill that dream. You know what he did instead of thinking, you know what, you deserve to polish my shoes. I deserve you to honor me. I deserve this. Instead, you know what he decided to do? He served and he served and he served. And his dreams, he didn't know how they could ever come to pass. He never, he probably even remembered them or thought about them. Joseph's already a dreamer. And here are two more dreams. You got a guy, the butler has a dream, and for time I'll just tell you, the butler has a dream where he sees three branches of grapes being squeezed into a cup, and then that cup being handed to the king. And then the baker, he has a dream where he's got three baskets of bread, and the birds are eating the bread out of the top basket. Now, in those days, dreams meant a lot. Everybody, and a lot of people I meet today are like, Pastor, I had a bad dream. Oh? Get a nightlight. Read your Bible. I'm sorry, I do care. I just don't know how to show it. I'm sorry. Bad dream. Everybody really like, oh, I've had the same dream twice in a row, Pastor. I'm not trying to mock you. Don't misunderstand me, but folks, we put too much emphasis on the dream. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You want to worry about the future, worry about it according to the Bible, not according to how you feel when you wake up after pizza last night. Amen. Some people put too much emphasis on the dream and not on the Bible. Okay? I had a revelation from God. You did not. You have a Bible. Read it. That's a revelation. But these two guys, they had no Bible. So God sort of shows them something. Both of them are sitting there saying, what does this mean? What does this mean? Joseph says, that belongs to God. Let me show you here. I don't have my verse. Chapter 40. And I'm looking for, I'm sorry. Well, I thought I had the verse. Oh, well, look at verse 7. He, Joseph, asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I mean, that's compassion. He's like, why are you? I mean, look, you're in prison. Of course you're going to look bad. But he says, you look really bad today. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, and I pray you. And he says, I'll pray, and I'll ask God to show me, give me wisdom. And he does. And he actually explains the dream, and he explains that butler, in 3 days, you'll be handing the cup back to the king. You're going to be out of here. And baker, in 3 days, you're going to lose your head. But Mr. Butler, when you get out, and he actually says that, when you get out, remember me. Put a good word in for me. Tell them that I don't deserve to be in here. I'll go back to, I'll be anything, just get me out of here. He didn't enjoy being where he was. He wanted to get out, but he's asking that butler to remember. He believed that God was going to raise up one and kill the other, and it exactly happened just like that. And there's one more dream we're going to see. Pharaoh has some weird dreams. Everybody seems to be dreaming that day. But here's the point. What was going on? God was at work. God was at work. God was moving and shaking everything so that he alone could get all the glory through the life action of one single Jewish man, named Joseph. Now, let's see, when you're just without time, I'm sorry, but you need to read your Bible so that you don't have to have me read it for you every Sunday. If you read the story, you know that the butler is brought out and the baker. So the butler then is now in the presence of the king, back in the presence of the king. Where is Joseph? He's in prison. What do you think Joseph did the next day? I better pack my things. All two of them. And get ready to get out. I'm sure the butler is going to go and tell the king all about how he met this guy that cared for him and ministered to him and helped him. And I'm sure he's going to come and get me out. And the day passed. And then the next day passed. And then the next day. Look at chapter 41. Well, chapter 40 and verse 23. Verse 21. Go back to verse 21. I'll show you this. And he, the king, restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Verse 22. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet, did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but, saddest words,
Adam.
The butler forgot Joseph. There he is, right back in the presence of the king, and he forgets him. You wouldn't believe it unless you're ready with your own eyes. What cruelty. How cruel could people be? You know, it's so easy to forget about people's kindnesses. You know, when you're upset at somebody, you forget about every good thing they ever did for you. Amen. That's how we're wired. That's why we need grace. We usually remember all the evil someone does to us. I know all 57 things you did last year that were evil. I've got a record of them. We rarely think of moms and dads who faithfully sacrifice their time, their money, their job, so we can have what they didn't have. We rarely go up to our mom and dad and say, thank you for putting up with me and not killing me when I was 18 years old. Amen? We rarely think of nurses who work unbelievable hours just so people like you and me can get into the hospital and get back out and actually not be the worst for it. We easily forget about the goodness of God that lends to us every breath, gives us our strength to get up in the morning, gives us our family and our church. No, this generation, you know why this generation is the least serving generation? The least giving? You know why this generation is? Because we're the most nitpicking, fault-finding, critical generation ever. I wouldn't do it that way. Their hair is always wrong. A servant doesn't find fault. You know what a servant does? Serve. Where am I going with this? Think about it. That butler owed Joseph big time. That Joseph had given the butler hope. He had showed him that God was going to raise him back. It was God who was going to restore him back to his position there. What did the butler do? You see, a servant is easy to overlook. When was the last time you ever asked your barber about his wife and his kids? You even know his name or her name. You see, somebody who's serving you, you're at a restaurant, sometimes they put the nameplate on there, you know, Olivia. Oh, Olivia, I want another cup of coffee, please. There, so that you can... When was the last time you asked them? How long you worked here? Well, it's a nice day. I hope they're taking care of you, because you're a great worker. When do you care about servants? You don't. They're easy to overlook. How do you think Joseph felt? Joseph experienced this in real time. Look at chapter 41 in verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Trust me. Who forgot Joseph? The butler. But you better believe me, God had not forgotten Joseph. He has not forgotten you, even though you may be going through hell on earth right now. He has not forgotten you. That's exciting. Look at verse 1. He goes, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Here's our dream again. Behold, he stood by the river, and behold. I mean, each time it says behold, it means think about it. Take a good look at this. He stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. Kine is an old word for cow. Fat flesh. These guys were what Johann would love to have in his butchery. They fed in a meadow. Behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, sickly and lean-fleshed, and they stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river, and the ill-favored, sickly and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well favored in that time till the table awoke, I would wake up. Watching one seven cows eating seven fat cows would make me jump out of bed. What did I just see? He wakes him up and he says, fat cows eaten by skinny cows. That doesn't make sense at all, man. Verse 5. He goes back to sleep and he slept and he dreamed a second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank, that means full and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. So 7 good ears of corn, 7 very weak, flimsy ears of corn. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He can't get over these dreams. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Wow. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in ward with the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. Remember that guy 2 years ago? You know? We dreamed a dream in one night when we were in prison, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. That was how he was known. And we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams to each man according to his dream. He did interpret, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us. So it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And I want you to understand here, this is perfect timing. You see, Joseph is exactly where he needed to be, doing exactly what he needed to be doing. And that's why I'm going to be... Christians don't jump around all around all the time at every opportunity that comes your way and say, I get this job, I want to move this house, I'm going to go with this new girlfriend. Christians don't jump around at every opportunity because of some greener grass somewhere, folks. See, God sometimes puts you in a situation and He expects you to stay. Because that's where He needs you. That's where you need to be. Because sometimes the hardest places in your life are God's better will for you than anything the world can give you. Where did Jesus get driven by the Holy Spirit? Not to an all-you-can-eat buffet. He went out to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without eating. Remember that? God pushed him up and says, this is where you need to be. Joseph was right. I'm talking about timing here. The adversities of our life are the precious hand of God molding and fashioning something beautiful. Quit complaining. Think about it. If Joseph had not ministered to those two men, if he had not gotten into the habit of just ministering to everybody in that prison, if he had just let himself be locked up and defeated, he would have missed the opportunity to be raised up and brought before Pharaoh, which is about to happen. Think about what times and things you've missed of the will of God simply because you wouldn't stay. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, the man, delighted in his way. Boy, if you ever want to be a good man, good woman, God will lead you down a rough path. All He asks for you to do is to delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Your desires, God knows them. He's got them for you down the road, maybe way down the road. Just delight where He's got you right now. Pharaoh had 2 really weird dreams, I think you'd admit. Fat cows being eaten by skinny cows. Healthy ears of corn being eaten by wimpy, sickly ears of corn. No one had any explanation about what they meant. That's when that butler, perfect timing. You say, 2 years, how can that be perfect timing? All I know is God's timing is perfect. He makes everything beautiful in my time, in His time. As you well know, Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. He's asked to explain the dreams. And let me just tell you this. Joseph, just for time, he says, those 2 dreams are really just one. They're telling you there's going to be 7 awesome years called the Celtic Tiger. You'll get that. And then after the Celtic Tiger, 7 of the worst famine years ever imaginable. King, you better get Egypt ready for us. You better take care of everything that is coming, King. I'm telling you, that dream is God talking to you. Let me take you to where I wanted to get. The honor of a servant is the greatest honor of all. Look at chapter 41, verse 37. Joseph says, you better store up food. You need to take 20% of all the prosperity and all the food, store it away for 7 years, and then during the next 7 years of famine, you will survive. Verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto the servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and he arrayed him in vestures and fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, crying out, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I'm Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph, you're in charge. Verse 46. And Joseph was how old? He's just 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out in the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Let me just tell you, Joseph told Pharaoh what needed to be done. Joseph didn't say, and by the way, I think I'm the man for the job. He didn't say that. You know what Joseph did? Joseph served. He just said, this is what he can even do. He was shut up. And Pharaoh said, I've never met a man like you. I've never seen anybody whom the Spirit of God is in. You see, when you're on the job, when you're at work, people ought to be able to say, there's something inside that guy. That person knows things. That person has an attitude and a grace about them, a givingness about them. I wonder if that's the Spirit of God. Pharaoh saw something in Joseph. He saw the Spirit. He actually says it, in whom the Spirit of God is. The king didn't believe in God. Pharaoh didn't believe in the God of the Old Testament, but he could see that is the Spirit of God. And so Pharaoh takes a boy who had been nothing but up and down, failure, 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 and made him prince, made him second under him. Put him in charge. You know, when he put the ring on his fingers, you think about it. You know what that ring had on it? It had the name of Pharaoh. So when he wanted something done, it wasn't because Joseph was asking. He said, it's as if Pharaoh asked him. He's got some power now. Do you know what gave him that honor? A life of service. A life of service. You see, the greatest honor of all is when a servant is honored. What will be the greatest thing that Jesus Christ could ever honor any one of us? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And believe me, the Lord will honor his servants. Let me finish this. What should we have learned? Number one, the unseen power behind everything here is not because Joseph is such a nice guy. Nope. God's not showing us this so that we be like Joseph. God's showing us so that we get what Joseph had, and that was great. The unseen power behind every act that Joseph did was not anger, it was not power, it was not manipulation, it was not murder. It was grace. Let me give you some points about servitude. Number one, you do not get to choose who you serve. Joseph wouldn't have chosen to serve any of these people. I want to apply for that job. No, he would not apply to be in prison and serving those prisoners. You understand what I'm saying? You don't get to choose who you serve, Christian. You imagine, here's Tess and Eddie, and they got their restaurant up there that just opened on Friday. Can you imagine if Eddie hires a the waitress or a waiter there, and the waiter goes up and sees Leo and Pat go in, goes, no, I don't want to serve them. And we go, fired! Amen? You don't get to choose who you serve. Amen? Secondly, you serve as a way of life. You serve as a way of life. Serving is the life of a believer. It's not a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday act. It's all day, every day. Thirdly, you serve the Lord Christ. Ephesians. You can leave Genesis now. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 22, Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22 says this: wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the perfect man. Right? Like he's the perfect guy? No. Submit it to your husbands like you're doing it to the Lord. That'll change a lot of marriages. That'll save a lot of money. Look at chapter 6 and verse 5. Servants, chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto who? As if you're doing it unto Jesus. Not with eye service, not when people are watching you as men pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service, as he is repeating himself, to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth in service, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Those are crazy verses, would you agree? Look at Colossians chapter 3, look to the right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, we serve the Lord Christ. I don't fully know that I can understand everything that's going through Joseph's mind and Joseph's heart, but the illustration is Joseph wasn't serving people, he was serving God. But you know, if you if God ever gave you the privilege of being called to be a missionary, he will ask you to love unlovely people. He'll ask you to go to people who don't want you, who want you to go home. He will ask you to love and serve people who will reject you and mock you. And in some areas of the country, of the world, will attempt to kill you. They love me. Because you're not doing it for them. It's for the Lord Christ. You love somebody because you love the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's really easy to love somebody when you know you're loved. If you find it hard to love somebody, it's because you're not feeling loved lately. That's the problem. We serve the Lord Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and never not unto men. Here's the great truth. God gives an outpouring of His Spirit only to servants. Isaiah 42 verse 1. I wish I had another hour. Go to Isaiah. I got to show you just a few things here, and then we're through. I know I've abused enough here, but just hold with me 2 more minutes. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. God gives an outpouring of His Spirit to servants. Not to great speakers, not to motivational speakers, not to successful people. Not to nice people, but to serving people. Isaiah chapter 42, God speaking of His Son Jesus, behold, and He calls Jesus my servant. Look at what God says. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Mine elect, He's speaking of Jesus, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon Him. Why? Because He's God's servant. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Go to Joel chapter 2. Joel. Some of the little books just before you get to Matthew, called the Minor Prophets, you'll find one of them called Joel chapter 2 and verse 29. Now this is speaking of the last days, but I'm telling you the principle is the same. Joel chapter 2, verse 29, and also upon the servants, that's a male servant, and upon the handmaids, that's a female servant. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Who does he pour his spirit out on? Who in this room doesn't yearn for God's Holy Spirit to fill and to use? I hope every one of us will pour it out on the servants. Last point. If you ever do get the privilege of serving, you will always be hurt. Guaranteed. It'll hurt your pride. You're not getting what you want. It'll hurt your reputation because people will only think of you as a servant. It'll hurt. It'll hurt your flesh. Why? Because when you serve, you get hurt. Physically, emotionally, every way. It'll hurt you. You know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4? He says, I was defeated, I was perplexed, I was abandoned, I was blamed, but I was not cast down. I was not discouraged. I was not quitting. He lists a whole chapter there. He says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He has something I want. I hope you want. You know what? It'll hurt you because it allows others to have rule over you. Somebody else will tell you what to do. Well, don't you hate that? Your wife comes in and says, please! And you go, no, no. I can't hear you, honey. My hearing aid's not working. Please! I want you to go do this! I said Leo. Somebody else telling us what to do, man. I don't like it. Allows others to have rule over us, have power over us. It means you'll get blamed when things go wrong.
Hey, blame the servant.
Amen. It means your enemies will be those who will try to keep you down, trample on you, hindering you as you just try to serve God. It'll hurt trying to serve God. That's what we're trying to learn. Because that's what grace is for. See, remove that first line, and everyone in this room will run. You're not going to be attracted to a life of service if it works for grace. Amen? You know, it says when Jesus was on the cross in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was his joy? You don't need to say. You see, through that trial, he knew what was going to be bearing fruit. And if it weren't for grace, nothing good would ever happen through a life that was made of being a servant. But grace makes servanthood fruitful. This is not the end of the story. We're beyond the halfway mark, but we haven't gotten to the best part. But this is the theme of the life of Joseph. Here's the life of a servant whom God constantly blessed and ultimately used to save his people. You know, Pharaoh gives him a name. I can't pronounce it because it's a crazy Egyptian name. He calls Joseph Savior of the world. Isn't that what Jesus is? Isn't that what Jesus is? What does it mean to serve? Let somebody else have. Be kind to him. It's not that hard. It's probably the hardest thing you and I ever think to do. How is your service? How good are you at serving? Probably not so good like mine. Probably failing left, right, and center. Did you know Jesus serves you every day? He keeps you breathing, keeps that heart pumping. He keeps you alive and above ground. He ministers to you in so many different ways. Maybe nobody else cares, but he has not forgotten you. And he's calling on anybody here who's not born again to cry after him and be born again. Calling out to every Christian disciple. You know what? I've been living the fool. I've been acting like Jesus isn't even there. I've been serving my own wants, my own wishes. I need to start serving God. Let's do this by prayer. Father, I ask you, God, to convict us of having everything backwards. The honor comes to the servants. When we don't get honor. No, let me say it again. We don't get the strength to serve without grace. Our flesh will wear out. Our emotions will burn out. Everything will rust out, fall out, without grace. It will be sufficient, I pray, that we would learn that. When we look at the life of Joseph, help us, God, to begin to serve the Most High God, our Joseph. Whether you ever honor us in this life should not matter. I want to hear a well done when I get your home, when I get to heaven. And then somebody in this room figure out they're not going. They could be the best person in this room, but without Jesus Christ in their life, without the grace of God saving their soul, they will end up in the devil's hell. And they will regret the fact that this day they walked out of here without being saved. Somebody have the courage to think God's life that means. I choose Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.